This is the Agile Thoughts Podcast, and I'm Lance Kahn.
Hi, I'm Alan Daly. I've been an Agile coach for some time, and now learning about how Agile can be adapted in other environments, or how I can take on other organizational change efforts and mix in some good principles and help organizations change and get better. So those relationships between humans and people and the organizations and the results they want to get are the things that I focus on.
This is a continuing episode of a series where we discuss a systems thinking tool called PositWid. The purpose of a system is what it does.
Let me scale this down a little bit and try to get some practical application into our discussion. I was a coach in an organization who needed to restart their Agile stuff in their department, very large department, some hundreds of people for a financial institution. And one of the senior directors of that institution, or that department, I should say, was very excited about having an Agile coach. And yes, I have an Agile coach, and here's there's this team that I want them to start doing Agile, and it'll be great, and it's wonderful. And I was all excited about it, right? The purpose of my engagement was to bring this team that was not doing Agile and bring them into the Agile fold and help them do things better. That's the purpose, the public intent, right? Private intent. Had a discussion with this director, and he says, yeah, what I need them to do is I really need to be able to, they're very successful. The team was creating great stuff. People were super happy. The team was happy. Their customers were happy. They just weren't working in an agile way, or the systemic, sustained way, or whatever the correct way, according to the organization, right? And so the director's like, yes, I just want them, his private intent to me was, I want them to interface with the rest of the company the way everybody else does, because it's hard for me to keep track of them or include them in my discussions because they work in a different way than everybody else. I'm like, okay, that's okay private intent, I guess. And so we start doing this, go meet with them, go meet with this team, learn about them. They have a long history of working together. They're very successful. And I'm starting to think, why in the heck are we here? And so I'm presenting Agile to them, and we're talking about Agile ideas, and they're all like, well, okay, we don't work that way. We work in a way where we have time-based estimates, and the boss makes assignments. There's all kinds of things they do that are un-agile, but everybody's happy with it, and the results are great. So I'm like, why are we here? And we get halfway through our introduction of Agile to them, and this director kind of takes over the meeting and pushes and pushes and pushes for story points and velocity.
Okay.
Now, this was not an unconscious intent, but it was even more private intent that he didn't tell me, was that, as it turns out, I took him aside and we had a conversation. It turns out that he wanted to be able to track velocity from this team so he could compare their velocity to other teams. He didn't really care about all the rest of the Agile practices. He wanted velocity as a metric that he could look at. What was his unconscious intent for that? Well, I'm not sure. It might have to do with bonuses or promotions or whatever else. Who knows? But we had two different levels of private intent.
Right.
And that the purpose, the stated purpose of me being there was making this team's life better. The real purpose is what it does, right? The director wanted velocity.
Interesting. Okay. So as we're using this, so you're describing a tool that we can use for thinking.
Correct.
And when we you knew the public intent. That's probably why you had the conversation. It got kicked off with that. And then the leader then said other things that you realized, oh, those are private intents. So using this tool, did it help you? I don't know if you're looking at this in retrospect or if this happened when you were thinking about this.
Thinking about it as a coach, what you have to do is watch for or be aware of these purpose intention disconnects, because it's very powerful to see them and then go down that trail to figure out where is this coming from and what should I do about it, if anything, right? It might be too big of a battle right now to change, or that's too big of a change that you can do right now, or whatever. But this is a tool, a thinking tool, and an observation tool where you can say, what are the different kinds of intent I'm seeing revealed here? And are these intentions things that we should pursue and make public? Are they intentions that we should change or get rid of? What dysfunctions are they creating in the interaction between managers and teams and customers and whatever, wherever this intention shows up, where the purpose we think we have is not met by the results that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Who is happy with the fact that what we're doing doesn't match our purpose, our stated purpose? Right? Your purpose is what it does, and what it does is not matching the stated purpose. Who gains from that, if anybody? Mm-hmm. Or are we just off track?
Mm-hmm.
And why are we off track? So this is like this land of red flags and things to go look into to see how the organization and the system that you're coaching is suffering because of this disconnect, and what should you do about it?
Yeah. And I want to like even open the frame up larger than, so for coaching or consulting, this is a really valuable tool. And this is a tool that's valuable to, you know, even in your personal life, i.e. Mm-hmm. you're trying to manage other people, i.e. your family, if we can use the word manage in that regard.
Yeah. Right.
There's lots of times where I get called to the carpet by one of my kids, and they like doing kind of like a five whys, basically, because for whatever reason, there's resistance, and they keep asking me why this, why that. And it reveals like, oh, he says, oh, if you want that result, I just want to do this instead of that. So it's a mm-hmm. kind of a negotiation tactic.
I go to chess club, let's say. I don't, but say I participated in a chess club. And I can look and see, what do I do with my time at the club meetings and between club meetings? My purpose is to improve my chess game. But if I look back on several months of participation and I realize my game hasn't improved, so what is it that I'm doing? And I might notice, well, it's the most social thing I ever do.
Right.
So my purpose, my original purpose, it might have been an original authentic purpose, but the purpose has shifted from improving chess to having a social group to meet with on a regular basis.
Yeah. So the tool helps you get realizations. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, well, that might not be a bad result or a bad purpose.
Right.
But let's be, conscious and explicit about how I behave based on the purpose I want. So maybe I can become a club organizer and a party organizer. And so I still participate in chess, but I know that my purpose is socialization. So I'm going to lean into that and get that out of there, more value from it, because I've discovered that what I do is not what my original stated purpose was.
This is all about us dealing with the human species, dealing with our own complexities, because mm-hmm. kind of what related to this is the act of mental flexibility we have about thinking we know why we're doing something, but it's not really true. And there's this book that maybe people will want to run out and get, or not. The History of Consciousness and the Bicameral Mind is a fairly classic book on why the human species evolved to be able to tell lies, which is, you know, I may tell somebody something that's not true because it may save my life, or it may save my family's life, or all these other hidden purposes that I'm telling, you know, the person I'm talking to doesn't know my hidden purpose, but I may say something just to avoid a conflict that could be, you know, could wipe you out. And so if you think from an evolutionary perspective, it could be there were people incapable of doing this, and that, you know, they all eventually got wiped out.
Could be. Yeah. So it applies like at a personal level and a system level. Pick your system, right? And I tried to point out with the chess match or the chess club example is it's not evil or bad.
Right.
Necessarily when you discover a disconnect. The shift of purpose is just revealing a different intent that is now more important to you.
Right. So here's the thing, Alan, I don't know what kind of personality type you are, but I'm of the personality type that tends to maybe not for everything in the world, but I tend to get a little depressed or upset because I'm not getting the results that I expected to get by going to chess club. And I won't even be conscious of it for a little while. I'll just have this like restless feeling of unhappiness growing as time goes on. And finally, I'll come to the realization like, holy cow, I'm not learning a damn thing when I go to chess club. But I still want to go because of, you know, as you said, the really good people I get to socialize with. And so at that point, there's this like uplifting of feeling, of frustration. It goes away because I realize, oh, it's okay to go to chess club and hang out. If it's really important for me to get better, then I have to do something else. But I could do this and that something else. And it turns into
right. So a startup, right, has to pivot.
Yeah.
Flickr was supposed to be like a matchmaking website or something, and they found that everybody just loved sharing photos, and so they pivot, right? Again, uplifting. Wow, we've been fighting, trying to have this kind of product, but look.
Right.
Our users have described through their actions a different intent and a different purpose. And so let's embrace that, and now we can go do this other thing, right? And so there's that, there's pivoting, there's also organizational change, whether it's to Agile or whatever it is you need to change in your organization. You might start that change and realize that the purpose is different than what you thought, or the intent, some other intent has, even an unconscious one, has come out. And then now we need to reevaluate, what is this change for, and therefore should we change in a different way?
Agile Grande teaches you systems thinking through dramatic storytelling, such as Carter takes a job to improve a logistics company's adaptability, but efforts to scale Agile practices are being blocked by Mr. Chernesky, a vice president who's organized the company into siloed pigeonholes in order to secretly make millions with a dark web shipping service. Carter's life is in danger. He goes underground, and a spy agency hunts for him. When Carter uses systems thinking, systems modeling, and organizational change to save his company and his life, you get to learn how to apply that to your organization as well. Get your free copy of Agile Grande at leanpub.com. Check out the show notes, and we will have some goodies in there for you, such as an image of Positwood from Alan Daly, as well as ways to connect with him and any other thing we could find that was valuable to you. What are show notes? Show notes show up in your podcast player for your easy access as soon as this episode is loaded. However, if you downloaded this episode from a website, go back to the website where you got the MP3 and you will see show notes there. The series started at episode 285. If you missed that episode, go to agilethoughts.info and type into the search box there the episode that you would like to listen to. Next episode, more Alan Daly. So now let's go back to the system. With this thinking tool, we've described how it can help us on a personal basis, or maybe help us understand somebody else, like a leader, about a new intent that maybe isn't public. What does that mean to us if we're going to think about the system?